In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version. So then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water, just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker, and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
What's up? Happy Friday. Do we try on Fridays?
We always try, Mike.
We do?
Yeah.
It's the same every day?
That's just what you're supposed to say.
What if something happens and we respond with an impressive effort and then people sort of say, well, wow, I mean, they were motivated. What does that say about every other day we've ever worked here for? I mean, that's what you can't. You don't want to have that.
No, you don't want that. No.
You don't want to ever be motivated because then it makes every other day you've ever worked look bad.
Yeah. I feel a stumper early. This is a tough one. What we really need, I think, you know, there's some complacency here. What we need, they need to sign some people to push us.
The Sabres?
No, the station.
Oh, well, listen, don't get me started.
The crease is all ours.
Don't get me started. Moving on.
I did see you walking around the complex today when I pulled in, so I'm expecting just like no end to good ideas. Because you were practically on Maple Road when I pulled in.
Yeah, I did a couple laps.
You were out there.
It's perfect out.
Yeah. I think yesterday was better than today.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Was it cooler?
It was yesterday?
A little cooler, yeah, but it was warmer than it had been all week. It was just like a real sweet spot, you know, like comfortable. You know, you're not going to go hit. Today I went and hit, you know, after hitting like 5 golf balls, I'm like, ah, I'm so hot. Yesterday, if I'd made time to go hit golf balls, I'd be like, this is really comfortable.
Yesterday was the picnic.
Yeah.
So I was already out there. The picnic started at 11. So I was out there. Yep. You know, I didn't need to walk yesterday.
No, I understand. Sure.
So, yeah, full of good ideas. My best idea, you know, I think, is not even mine.
Go on.
Brian Mazurowski, this morning. You know him.
I do know
Penguins
Brian.
Fan.
I like Brian. I admire Brian.
Penguins newsman, Penguins fan.
Newsman.
Did you see his tweet this morning?
I did. I saw something, but I don't remember what it was now.
Here it is exactly. What are the odds your favorite moment at, and I like how he worded this, the current Bills Stadium, leaving the corporations out of it, you know, which is, I think, fine. What are the odds your favorite moment at the current Bills Stadium has already happened?
Ooh.
For you, they'd be very high. And for me, too.
Yeah.
Because we might not be there that many more times in the next 2 years, but forget whether you were at the stadium for this or maybe you don't want to. Like, just what would be the answer to this question? What are the odds your favorite moment at the stadium has already happened?
That'd have to be really high because you're talking about, you know, if you started, I mean, I went there the year it opened, okay? So 1973. Now, that's not going to be my favorite moment because my dad almost got in a fight and I was 8 years old and pretty scared at a Bills game. Oh. Bills Bengals in 73.
And somehow it stuck.
Yes, somehow. But you've got, you know, so I've got, the, you know, my whole post 8-year-old existence to now. And now you've only got, I've got two more seasons. I don't know, maybe there'll be a couple of other events there, concerts or something that I could get drawn to before it closes.
Oh, no,
and
concerts.
The new place opens.
And hockey games, too.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That complicates things.
Sure. So I would say for me, probably pretty high. Now, you know, what could change that? Obviously, you know, we go this year or next year. And I don't know, they host the AFC title game again and go to the Super Bowl. They beat the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl. Like, that might be a lot of people's, answer at that point.
I think the spirit of, I don't know, I haven't talked to Brian, but I think the spirit of this question is that you were there for everything. I think the spirit of the question is, what is the greatest moment?
Yeah, sure.
In
stadium history?
Stadium history. And if you include the next two seasons, will something top it?
Right. That's how I'm trying to look at it, too.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't been there for many of the incredible moments, right? Like, the most memorable game I was at maybe is David White.
Yeah,
division clincher in 95. That is not going to be an answer for, like, the greatest moment in the history of the stadium.
And I think my favorite ever experience day at the stadium was Chad Morton.
Wow.
So at least wow. In your game, the Bills won.
The Bills win. Yeah, right.
But that was my first year with season tickets. I had just started here. I had a girlfriend involved, and we went to that game, the opener in 2002, and I was just so happy.
Yeah.
And it was a great game.
It was a great game.
Like, they lost.
I was also at that game, but the person I was with, who at the time was working here, which was not a good idea, he fell asleep. He fell asleep at the game.
Mm.
So
would that be his favorite moment?
It's definitely not mine.
I
can tell you that.
You don't want that,
dude.
If we can we just try here? Like, if I know it's Friday, but if we can just try, if you remove hockey games and concerts,
sure.
What is the greatest moment out there so far?
51-3, the comeback. A couple of years after that are going to rate very highly.
So games.
And I would say those, for me, as much as I love seeing The Clash with, you know, open for The Who at the stadium and The Stones on the Tattoo U tour and a couple of others and the hockey game, like, I'm fine with a football game being, you know, I think it is a football stadium, and I feel like there've been enough great football moments there, even if I wasn't there for them, that I wouldn't stump for. Oh no, the Winter Classic in 2008 was the greatest moment in the history of the stadium. Like, no, it was a great day.
You might say that, though.
I really enjoyed the day, but I feel like it should be a football moment myself.
It does feel right to say that, but, you know, to say about the Winter Classic, that was everything. You know, I mean, it wasn't a Bills win, but
Or even
a Sabres win.
Sabres win, right.
That's right. But it's the same people. You know, it's the same. Sure. It's the same fan base.
Yeah.
Packing the stadium, the snow, and the novelty of it. The first one, that was an incredible day for sure. Like, that was one of the best days out there for sure.
Right. Does a moment in the parking lot the day after a game count? For me personally, because of late, The moment that stands out to me, I mean, and maybe the Patriots playoff game, the perfect game, would be, a reasonable answer to this. You know, that was a great, great day. It was Bill Belichick on the other side. It's the playoffs. And, I mean, you just murdered. You got Fitz with no shirt on. The day after, that was a Saturday night, right? So Sunday morning, Jeremy called me and said, you know, I could use a hand with the trailer. They were tailgating and had their camper in the lot, and like, would you, you know, I gotta go pack it up and get it out of there. Would you want to come with me? I'm sure. So we go out there and we do whatever's got to be done, you know, pack that up and everything. And as we're getting ready to leave, it was a beautiful cold, crisp, but clear skies, no wind, not a cloud in the sky, like just blue sky and sunshine. It's a beautiful morning. And in the shadows in the parking lot, there is this abandoned Patriots, like Yeti type coffee cup, like a Patriots logo on it. Just I have a picture of it saved. And I just loved that. It just looked so lonely and appropriate, like lying in a puddle. And I was like, this is a great moment. Like, I feel so good right now. They just murdered this team that was such a pain in our you-know-whats for so many years. And, man, and just seeing that thing sitting there, I'll never forget that. That moment for me. It had nothing. I mean, it wasn't a part of the game. It was the next morning. But that was a really cool moment in the parking lot. It wasn't, you know, in the stadium. But I loved that.
What was the spread that night?
Ooh, I don't remember.
See, like, there's no question about how good that felt. You know, there were doubts about the Bills in that you know, few days and the history with the Patriots. But the Patriots, I'm looking it up now, they were never really expected to make that run. I mean, it wasn't incredible that the Bills beat them. But the fact that they were so good that night, and, you know, New England was just no match. The Bills were 4-point favorites, so not 10. It's not like the Steeler game last year or the Dolphins with Skylar Thompson. I mean, it was was that the same year as the year the Patriots won here on the Monday night in the wind?
Yes, maybe 21, yeah.
So, I mean, it's definitely legit for the history of the franchises and everything like that, but it wasn't like that. It wasn't surprising that the Bills won the game, really. I mean, it's two different questions, and I don't know exactly what Brian was going for this morning. Like, your favorite moment is not likely to be the greatest moment.
Right.
It's something more personal. It's like, for me, I had that one year that different circumstances made that special for me. And the Bills didn't even have a good season. Like, it was just sort of like...
That was a
fun season, 2002. The opener with Bledsoe. Bledsoe's first game. They score right at the end to force overtime. They lose on the opening kickoff of overtime. Okay. The Raider game was incredible. The Kelly Snow game with Ricky Williams and that game. The Chargers were here that year with Breeze, and the Bills beat them. Like, there was a lot. There was that fourth and stupid game. I mean, there was a lot that year.
Wow,
very memorable, even though it wasn't like a Super Bowl or a playoff season.
Yeah, that Miami game in that season is very high on the list for me. I mean, I've only been in the stadium for a couple of games where there was weather like that, and that is easily for me. There were, you know, the other ones weren't. That was a snowstorm during the game, and it was great fun to be there. And you said it, Kelly on the sideline in the high school the varsity type jacket and everything, and just really a fun day.
I remember the next day. That was my one season with Chuck Dickerson, and I said something. I was there, right, for that game. It's any Bills Monday where we're analyzing it. And I said something like, what is Jim Kelly doing? You know, like, you're in the Hall of Fame. What are you doing running around on the field like a kid? And we went to break, and Chuck was just like, so excited. Like, I can't believe you would say that. Like, I must have never said anything interesting to him. But the fact that I would, like, throw a shot at Kelly on a day where everybody was just, you know, romantic about it all, he was just so excited, you know.
Wow!
Like, what did I even say? I don't even know if I said anything interesting.
That's
but
funny.
He liked that it was kind of pointed.
Yep.
Yeah, there were a lot of fun games that year. The Raider game was up there. Like, the Bills, 49-31. The Bills lost to the Raiders. Gannon, Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice, right.
You know, the Bills lost to the Raiders that day. But, man, I mean, that was a party, even though.
Yep. The Patriots game in 11. That early season
maybe
game.
Similar.
Fred Jackson with the flag and everything. Like, that was a really, you know, I wasn't there for it. But, again, that's always come up as like a drought moment. Like, what's the best thing that happened during the drought? Like, what's the best time you had at the stadium during the drought? Like, that's a very high score, I think, because it's one of the few times you beat the Patriots, and it was in such dramatic fashion. And it, much like that Jet opener from 02, it's one of those just perfect, like the day you picture when you get tickets to an early season game. Just sun, maybe a few clouds, but just idyllic conditions to sit and watch a football game.
Rob is on WGR. Hi, Rob.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Sure.
I was going to say that I'm jealous of both of you guys because you guys were – I was 5, 6, 7, and 8 for the Super Bowl run. I've said that before, and I'm jealous of 51-3. But as an adult, there's just nothing that compares to perfection in the park. I mean, I remember being in my seat after we scored to start the game, and then I actually put my head down when I saw the trajectory of Mac Jones's pass, and I was like, okay, well, it's the Patriots. It's Bill Belichick, of course. They're going to stay in the game, and it's going to be a tight game, and I just expected it. And then to hear the roar, and I look up, and I didn't even know that Micah Hyde had picked the ball off, and it was just obviously just a party from that point on, and it was amazing. It made me feel connected to, you know, to the 51-3 fans because obviously I was too young to be there. So that
oh, sure.
Was,
rub it in. Rub it in. Rob, Sneaky Joe today tweeted a picture to Brian's tweet of the 1988 AFC East clinching win over the Jets with the you know, picture
fans
that everybody's
field,
seen
right.
with the fans on the field and the two or three people hanging on the goalposts. I was on the field. Like, to
really?
Me... I mean, I said to Joe, like, that's a picture of me. You can't see me in the picture. I'm not even sure I'm in it. But I was on the field for that. And, you know, that's a long time ago now. So
did you get any of the goalposts or anything?
No, the net.
The net,
yes. No, I never touched the goal. Like, people threw the goalposts over the top of the stadium, I think. That was
right.
the...
Or then they like take them up to Ralph's box or something.
Yeah,
like Wilson's
something
box,
like
whatever,
that.
Something like that happened.
I had no contact with the goalpost, but I remember wrestling a guy. Like, I had a Halloween mask on. It was a sort of around Halloween, and just, you know, sort of beating a guy in a wrestling match for the net until it broke. So I have a big piece of the net somewhere.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I just wanted to put my two cents in for sure.
Yeah, awesome.
The park was really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that Micah Hyde interception was an incredible play. And
yes.
Look, I mean, it's easy to say the Bills ended up killing them, and they scored every time they had the ball, save for Neil Bounds at the end of the half. But the game is 7-0 at that point, you know. Like, and I would trust. I mean, who knows? Maybe the receiver drops the ball, but like that was on target, and who knows? You know, if the Bills get a little tight at 7-7, or it was a bad bounce, just it could have gone differently. It was a big play that I feel like. You know, because the Bills were so dominant on offense, isn't remembered as being as significant because, you know, it didn't come late in the game. It wasn't like a game-saving play or anything, but it's not like the Bills were up 21-0 at that point. It was early in the game, 7-0, and Hyde just made a fantastic play to come all the way across the field like that.
For any trivia lovers, fellow trivia lovers, who is the intended receiver? You'll never get it. He's still in the league.
The name I had in my head was Kendrick Bourne, but I don't think
that's a perfect guess. It's actually Nelson Agholor.
Thank you. Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
He's on New England?
Yeah.
For that game?
I don't remember that at all.
It's 3 years ago. I have no memory of that.
Yeah.
Not even.
Yeah.
Right? 21 playoffs? Not even 3 years ago.
Yeah.
What's the official temperature at ProFootballReference.com for that Patriots game? 7.
Nice. 7 degrees.
7 degrees. So somehow on Twitter, sorry, X, the conversation continued as Brian Mazurowski had tweeted, you know, the odds that your favorite stadium moment won't be topped in the next 2 years, the remaining 2 years of the stadium. And they got to, what about your least favorite moment? Like the worst moment you've ever had out there. Will that be topped? Like lose... All right, beating New England in a wild card game, especially because of the history and the Bills' performance, sure. They lose the next week, but that's a great night. Assuming you didn't get, like, frostbite or something, that's a great night. Last year's loss is up there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Bills have two other home playoff losses, Jacksonville in 96 and then the Bengals.
The Bengal game in 22, yeah.
And, you know, any of those, I don't know if the Jacksonville game can be, like, the worst moment out there. The Bills had so much success. They get back to the playoffs 2 years later. The Chief one, though, on different levels, is tough. What you wanted, what you called WGR for 3 years to complain about, was that you never got the Chiefs at home. And then you do, and you lose.
Yeah.
Like that. That's
like that too. Like, you know,
lose a close one.
Right.
Like that. That's up there. We were not. You and I were not at that game. You know, it's different for me than it was even in 2002. Like, I was still like such a fan back then, and work was just sort of part of it. But then for me, work became most of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the emotional connection is very different than it was. I mean, I was at playoff games in the Super Bowl years, the 90 Miami game. I don't even have to, I don't even have to equivocate on this. There's, of course, I was 19 years old. Or, right? Yes. Of course, I was just like paralyzed by the stress of how the Bills would do in this game against Miami. They'd rarely had good seasons, you know, in my life, watching them.
Yep.
And here it was. I went, I sat five rows from the field in the corner, in one corner of, like, on the Dolphin side for that game. And I just would, like, I probably had trouble breathing yes, that morning.
I believe it.
Saturday afternoon.
I believe it.
Snow, Buffalo, Miami, all of it. I did not go to 51-3, but I was at that game, and I'm sure there was nothing in my life that was even close to as important to me as the how that game went. I mean, that's a favorite moment because they win. It was a thrilling game, too. They win, and, you know, then you can breathe again.
Yeah. Yeah, that game, I just watched a bunch of the Bills highlights. I didn't see any of the Miami touchdowns in the highlight package that I watched. But looking back at it, I felt like it's not the perfect game, but the opponent is right, the weather is right, the stakes are very high, and my feeling is like the Bills were in control, but it was close enough that you still would be like that, right? Like, I don't...
it got to 27-24.
Okay.
I think. Roy Foster.
Did they ever even trail in the game?
No. Right.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, but
it was close.
It was not a breeze.
No. And the final ended up being what, 44-34?
44-34, I think is right.
Yeah.
I think Marino threw a short right in my corner, a short play action touchdown pass to an offensive lineman. Roy Foster was the player, in like a 1 yard touchdown pass. And like, uh-oh, that might have made it 27-24. Like, there's a long way to go here.
Right.
Yeah, that's how I remember it.
Yeah.
I'm going to look now, but
yeah.
I think that's right. Like anybody, as you get older, you remember that stuff better than you remember like last week.
Sure, yes.
Don't ask me what I did last night, but right. I'll tell you about Roy Foster.
Right.
Just, well, love the question. I mean, we've got 2 years left with the stadium. What are the chances the best thing ever happens before it's over? What would that even be?
It's got to be, I mean, beating anybody to get back to the Super Bowl would probably rate, but I think beating the Chiefs would be the thing that could just blow the field away. You know,
they have to win the Super Bowl after that, though.
Sure they do.
Right?
Yeah.
Or else it's
these other
games.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I don't know. We can discuss it.
I feel like that's the only thing that could happen between now and the new stadium opening that would really rate.
Yeah, if you beat New England 47-17 this year, all right.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah, great.
So what? You're supposed to.
Right.
That's a fun existence. Today, coming up, John Daigle, Fantasy Friday. What am I doing burying Fantasy Friday? It's like August 23rd. We're all drafting now. Even Bulldog, he's got a draft coming up. Not the one I dragged him into, the free roll, but like a real one. Everybody's drafting now. One of my favorite guys in the industry, John Daigle, now with Establish the Run, will join us at 4. I think he's been on one other time, so he comes off the one-timer list today. And Tyler Dunn. Some perspective on the upcoming season from the great Tyler Dunn coming up today as well. Favorite moment, best, worst, 803-0550 for your calls. Thanks for listening. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Well, I believe that Josh looked at it as an opportunity and somewhat of a new chapter, right? And with that, him taking even more ownership of his role on the football team overall, but also onboarding these new players, helping onboard these new players into how we do things and then schematically what we're doing. And then his connection then to Joe with developing, let's call it, some of the new things we're doing offensively. And when you have that type of involvement and that type of ownership, the influence is felt even more. And so I've been very pleased with Josh and his investment and also his leadership.
Sean McDermott, very much along the lines of how he spoke with us earlier this week, talking about Allen. Bulldog asked him about his relationship with Allen, how it's evolved. They go into year 7 together, McDermott entering his 8th season, and he's done great. You know, right now it's, for a couple of years, it's been getting to the top. Obviously, that has not happened yet. But if you go back a decade, imagine this having been the last 7-8 years. I mean, 6 playoffs in 7 years?
Yeah. You
Did the Kelly Bills ever do that? I guess they did. 6 out of 6. They did.
Right.
88 to 93.
Right. And then a miss, and then another couple, and then a miss, and then that's the end.
6 out of 6, 7 out of 8, 8 out of 9. They did 8 out of 9. That's right. And then he was done.
Right. That Jacksonville loss was the end of the line for him. Well, for Kelly anyway, yeah. It's we know the ups and downs in 13 seconds and are you going to get there, and it's a very hard it's a hard way to be measured. You know, you got to get everything has to go right, and you got to get all the way to the top. I mean, looking back, when he walked in the door here, one of the reasons I enjoyed talking with him so much, like you sort of, I think at the beginning, asked him, like, 8 years, like, did you think, you know, when you walked in here? And I don't know who, like, at the beginning of it, it's really easy to say right now, sure, yeah, I'll take that. But now that we're living it and, you know, you've seen how close they were in 21, it sort of challenges you to accept that it's been great. But it's been great. It really has. They haven't gotten all the way there. But, I mean, it's a tremendously different life right now than it was before McDermott got here.
Has your favorite moment at the stadium downright stealing from Brian Mazurowski? It's Friday, so I feel like I can live with myself. Has it happened in these last 8 years? Your favorite moment at the stadium, or what is your worst favorite moment out there? Brian from WBEN was tweeting about this morning, and I decided to take the day off and just bring it up. How do you like that? Bam.
Don't be so hard on yourself. Take the day off. I mean,
it's a little bit of a bit.
Okay. But I mean, we're here physically doing the job.
Are we? Are you sure anymore? Is this AI? I click my pen every once in a while because I don't think AI would ever do that. That's how you know it's real.
Right. That's why I say all the time.
Yeah. AI would never say
No.
You can't spell AI without.
I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times.
Shouldn't AI, like the guy doing the weather, shouldn't there be a little bit of every once in a while to
make it seem real?
Yeah.
That's why I do it.
That seems realistic. Like, this guy's perfect. That must be a fake. You can't strive for perfection anymore.
No.
You want to strive for a lack of perfection so people believe that you're actually doing the work and trying and not a computer.
That's why I continue to strive to be, just pretty
okay.
Pretty mid.
Yeah.
Yes. Pretty mid.
Yes. This show was ahead of its time, wasn't it? Daniel is on WGR. Hello, Daniel.
And fellas, long time, first time. Just wanted to say I'm in the same age cohort as Mike and Sal, and I went to the...
Hey. Yes. No, it's fine. You're doing great.
Not a criticism. Just saying, I went to the comeback game. I've been to the Sabres game at the Highmark Stadium, and also went to the perfect Patriots game. And the reason I chose the greatest game was the comeback, was the lows were so low, and then followed by the highs were just so much higher than if we had just been coasting the whole game like 51-3. And I just being in the stands for that comeback and watching people leave all around us. And then when we came back, it was just like, I couldn't breathe. It was just, we were yelling and screaming the whole second half. And we're like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. I can't believe what I'm seeing. Guys, this is history. And then we walk out like, do you realize what just happened? Oh my gosh. We were on top of the world for the rest of the week. It was great. Yeah.
Do you remember, I mean, there was euphoria. The Bills had made history in that game. They were going to have to win two road playoff games without Jim Kelly for one. And I thought that was, the comeback game was, as I remember it, like great for what it was, but...
Good luck now.
Yeah, I didn't think... Right. You know, that's... for the things about 51, I was not at 51-3, Daniel, but that would have been... Like, I don't need second half stress. That game's 41-3 at half. Like, they're going, we know it. This is the best party I've ever been to.
I turned that game off and went and played basketball at a park in New Haven, where I was living at the time, because I'm like, we're all set here. I'm fine. I don't need to watch the second half.
And, of course, they were live to win the Super Bowl, especially if the Niners lost. So that's why I would – I wasn't at either game, but that's why I would sort of lean that way.
Totally agreed. The feeling that the fans had was that we somehow helped lift the team up and got them to get back into the game. That's the way we felt that day, and that's no other game has come just that close.
Yeah, I don't remember, to your point, Mike, the immediate aftermath and even the week leading up to the Pittsburgh game feeling like they're in tough. I probably subscribed to something along the lines of it's got to be their year. Like, you're going to come back like that. This train ain't getting stopped. Even without Kelly, and in facing eventually the specter of going to Miami to play the AFC title game, like this is not going to lose.
You'd say then it was more like karma,
right?
I would say it's found money.
And the Super Bowl was the same. Like going into the Super Bowl, like come on,
they have to win.
This is their year.
Found money.
52-17. Holy God!
So whoops.
Yeah, right.
John is
so
next.
So much for momentum.
Hello, so much for momentum. What do you know? Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Some memories I wanted to share of the stadium on things I've attended or games. One, I'll never forget sitting there in shorts comfortably in the month of January to watch Rob Johnson take the job away from Doug Flutie. One of them, the Winter Classic hockey game. I think I was sick for a month after. I think I sat there... freezing cold. Then I was soaking wet from wet snowflakes. And then my clothing, I think I remember refreezing all throughout the duration of that game. That was another fun one for me. And, things like that I'm always going to remember about the old stadium. Probably we're going to get the similar memories in the new stadium, too, once that's open. But, those are just a couple of them that I'm always going to cherish, weather-related. So.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, John. You might not have, let's say we should hope, you might not have new stadium experiences where the snow is so thick in the upper deck that you can literally not walk up the stairs, right? That you have to dig your way up and down to get to seats. Hopefully the design is, modern enough here with the roof sort of hanging over, up there anyway, that you shouldn't have to worry about that. I mean, the length to which they sort of processed, factored into the design of the stadium, wind direction, tendencies, weather, on average over the years, I'm not sure it'll actually ever snow there. I think maybe we will never see snow or wind at the new stadium. I think they have figured out ways to
redirect
eliminate
the clouds.
Yeah, they now know how to move the weather.
Right.
So enjoy it now. These are probably the last 2 years ever you'll ever go to a Bills game and it'll snow on you. This is it. If you're into that.
We can hope or not hope. I don't know. Maybe, you know, like you said, maybe
I'm not sure about rain.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about rain, but it should never snow at the new stadium.
Well,
they've thought of everything.
Good luck with that.
Zach is next. Hello, Zach.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I got a best and worst for you. A couple of recent ones. Worst, I mean, New England wind game in that December a couple of years ago, where they just got the ball ran down their throats all day somehow. Also, while we're on the worst here, that Kansas City loss last year in the playoffs was, I found, really tough and deflating, because at the end of it, I'm just sitting there and you're kind of thinking that the only way to beat this team in the playoffs is to, like, by a stroke of luck. And that's never really a good feeling when you're relying on chance, essentially, to succeed. I mean, you know, sports and life, I guess. So, best moment for me, one of my favorites outside of the New England playoff game, would be when Tyler Bass kicks the field goal versus Miami in December to win the game. I remember it was like a real snowy evening. It was also another one where you're just sitting on snow. I don't want to over-romanticize it, but it was like this strangely beautiful moment where it's like the nicest snowflakes you've ever seen, and the team all comes out and slides onto the field together. It was just like a cool special moment of camaraderie to see that, I think. That's one of my favorites for sure.
All right, thanks,
Zach. Good deal, Zach. Yeah, the thing about the Chief game last year is that it's so sudden, right? Like, the Bills have got the ball, it's a two-minute warning, and what do you as a fan do? I mean, everybody's different, but, like, you're thinking, okay, can they score here? Can they leave not enough time? 13 seconds is haunting you. It's the same opponent. All right, can I get the touchdown? How soon do I want the touchdown? Do I want it right now? Let's bleed the clock. Oh, my God. No. Oh, he missed your kick. They're going to try a field goal. Oh, no, overtime. Oh, I hate overtime. Oh, they missed it. It's over. I got to go do post game. Like, for me, it was just so just sudden. Like, I don't want to say I assumed he'd make the kick, and I was still terrified the Chiefs would come down and score, even if he'd made the kick, and the game would still be over. But it just was, you went from processing scenarios about scoring a go-ahead touchdown too fast to the season being over. Like, that was just like, that, I'm imagining Zach sitting there like, just still, just watching the teams walk off the field, going like, "Wait, what? Just not. It didn't quite process. It wasn't confusing, but it just was jarring how fast it all happened. To me, that's how I remember it.
Zay Jones suspended for 5 games. Arizona now. There goes the Zay Jones revenge game,
man.
Factor. Week one.
Let me go see what the spread's doing.
Did you look today?
No, I didn't look today.
5.5.
Oh, look at that.
On DraftKings, you don't look at DraftKings. You would never, but 5.5.
Yeah, I don't cheat on FanDuel.
Down again.
Yeah.
We asked Joe Ostrowski yesterday, what do you think? He's like, Arizona. That's how he sounded.
Right.
I can't give 6 points. I can't give the Arizona Cardinals 6 points at the Bills in week one. That's where we're at. One man's opinion. Zay Jones, according to Tom Pelissero, suspended for the first 5 games of the regular season for violating the personal conduct policy. Does that rise to the level of being a question for John Daigle in 20 minutes from Establish the Run? I don't know. There are two other, well, there's Marvin Harrison, but past Harrison, there are two other receivers from the Cardinals that I would say fantasy drafters like more.
Dortch.
Greg Dortch and Michael Wilson. Both have the advantage of having sort of like lame names.
Dortch sounds like he should be a tight end.
The fact that they don't have like, quote, cool names makes them sort of sneaky values.
Yeah.
Because people love the cool names. If they had cooler names, they would go earlier. But Dortch is maybe actually good.
Yeah.
And Wilson is maybe good. So I never see Zay Jones being picked, but I always see those guys now. Not sure it's a big it's somewhat of a development for the Cardinals. No Zay Jones first 5 games. Dave Pasch, who you probably know, he has been the voice of the Arizona Cardinals for many years. When he was at Syracuse as their broadcaster in the what, 25 years ago? The year 2000 is the year I worked with Dave on those broadcasts. He will be on Monday's show with me. Bulldog is off next week, so I'll talk to Dave about the Bills' week one opponent and, you know, maybe some Bill Walton on Monday.
Nice. Yeah.
He worked with Bill Walton many times. I feel like if I don't know that I'm right here because I don't watch so much NBA, but for me, Pash is like the number one Bill Walton
guy, yeah.
Partner,
yeah.
Just sort of a foil for mm-hmm. Walton. And Dave was seemingly always just very good at
playing straight.
Yes, yep. Exactly, with Walton. All right, John Daigle, Tyler Dunn, still to come today. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Fantasy players, hang around a bit longer with us. John Daigle, one of the best in the business, joins us in about 15 minutes, maybe less, to answer our questions, hopefully help you prepare better for your upcoming draft or drafts. Some of you out there, I know, are in more than one. It's been done. I'm at like 200 for the year, and I got a lot of work left.
I flipped on the... a different sports radio show on my way home the other day, and they were doing a fantasy segment, and they had like their resident, I don't want to name names, stations, markets, anything, but really? It was an out-of-market show. And their fantasy expert, they asked him, like how many do you have? Like, is it like, what are you up to now? And the guy's like, I'm not sure. I think it's somewhere between 10 and 15. And I'm like, what is this? What are you doing, dude, over here? Get the training wheels off. Call my boy. You need a guy? Call my guy. He's this guy with 12 teams.
They might want somebody who actually, quote, gets outside once in a while. But right. If they don't, yeah, I can be,
they should
I can
have,
be had.
They should have your number, these people. You got to make sure they get your number.
I can be had. Jess is next. Hello, Jess.
Hey, what's up, guys? Man, it's not the best memory of the game, but it's one I'll never forget. It's when I was like a sophomore in high school at Hammondsport Central High School. Shout out, Lakers.
Yeah.
My buddy's mom, she owned like Bully Hill Winery, who sponsors the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
So they would like buy a bunch of tickets for us, like students, and we'd go out there in a school bus for games. Anyways, we're at that game. All we had to do was beat the Steelers' third stringers. I remember like Charlie Batch, Fast Willie Parker, those guys at home, and we were in the playoffs, you know. And they came to our house and smoked us. And man, I don't know that. Like, it's such a vivid memory. I just remember being so pissed off, being like 14 years old, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that was not fun.
My math teacher just being blitzed. And just like, you know, the dude was freaking out. He was like a crazy Bills fan, you know.
That you never forget.
A blitz math teacher at 14.
Your teacher's drunk, you never forget. There's
I
no.
I threw my poncho up like above the stadium. It was super windy. And just like flew out. Yeah, it was wild.
It's very jarring to the senses to have your teacher be inebriated in your presence. This is not how this is supposed to go.
No. No, it's not.
Tommy Maddox, not Batch. You want Tommy Maddox for that game.
And Brian St. Pierre eventually. He played as well, didn't he?
He might have even started.
Yeah. That's who I remember more than Maddox. And Charlie Batch, I don't recall at all. But Brian St. Pierre is the guy I remember.
Maddox was the starter. I have St. Pierre as going 0 for 1.
Wow, really?
But he kneeled it out. I don't know. Maybe Maddox got hurt or they just took him out.
Yeah.
The Steelers couldn't believe what was happening. We're just like, all right, we're gonna win, I guess. I don't know. Didn't really want to, but yeah, that game. Wow.
At least that was the first time any of us had ever heard of Willie Parker. I think at least he had a career. You know, like if he had just had that day and then like was a borderline practice squad guy the rest of his career and never really established himself, be like, who the hell was that guy? That's how we felt in the moment. I know, like, who is this guy? But he at least, you know, had a few years of, you know, being pretty decent.
Bills leading receiver that day, tied at least for the most catches, Sam Aiken.
Sam Aiken, North Carolina. I think North Carolina.
Feed your horses there. Yeah, North Carolina, Sam Aiken. Aiken, Molds, and Peerless, or Evans, not Price. Evans on that team. He was a rookie in 2004. All right. Thanks for bringing that up. Jess? No, it's cool. We will talk to John Daigle after the update here on WGR.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.